Welcome, everyone. My name is Dave Greenwald. Today I have on the phone with me Club Lifestyle member Fiona Ashford from Auckland, New Zealand. Welcome, Fiona.
Hi, thanks.
Everybody calls her Fee, right, Fee?
Yeah, so that's right.
So that's what we'll do.
My husband, when I'm in trouble, he calls me Fiona.
And that's when
when I'm in trouble.
And that's when you know. That's when you know. That's funny. It's like using the middle name of a child, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
David Lee, what's your problem? Yes. All right. So let's just start right off here. You've made an incredible transformation. People are going to be seeing your photos. They might be seeing them as they're listening to this. They might be seeing them later. But they will be seeing photos and various other who knows that I'm going to put up about you, because you've made just an incredible transformation that is really going to inspire others to take action on their own as well. And so let's find out a little bit about you, Fee. Would you tell us a little bit about yourself? Who are you? Are you married? Do you have any kids? How old? How tall? Give us kind of the basic stats on Fee.
Sure. Okay, well, I'm 33 years old, 34 in November, 5'7". I'm married with two girls. One of them, Elise, she's the oldest. She's about to turn 9. And a little one, Jasmine, who's just turned 2. And I'm married to a nice fella called Keith. And in January coming up, it'll be 14 years. Because I was 20 when we got married, so we're coming up 14 years in January. And I work full-time as a manager in a menswear clothing company here in Auckland.
And if any of you from the United States are like me, when I first started speaking to Fee, now I've been able to translate what she said today very well, but I've been talking to Fee for a year.
No
need to apologize. You're fine. You're perfectly fine. When I first heard her husband's name, I was like, what's his name? And she said, Kate. And I said, what's his name? And she had to say it about 5 times. But for those of us in the United States, we would say it Keith. Just like that. So that's her husband's name, and I've had an opportunity to talk to him as well, and he's a great guy. And as I've gotten to know Fee, they've got a great relationship. And so you've got a 9-year-old and a 2-year-old, and you work full time outside the home. You've got a husband, so you've got a household to take care of, a husband, kids, and a full time job.
Yep.
Okay. So now, I talked about it right at the beginning of this interview. But why don't you just tell us a little bit about where you're from. What is it, what's Auckland? What's Auckland like?
Well, Auckland in New Zealand, it's the main city in New Zealand. If you're coming to New Zealand, chances are you're flying into Auckland. So anyone out there flying into Auckland, contact me. I'll come and see you, meet you. And
so it's a big city. How many people?
Oh, God, I don't know.
Okay, a lot.
Keith normally knows that sort of thing. Way less people than you're used to. In fact, the whole of New Zealand's probably got way less people than many cities overseas.
Sure.
But it probably takes us 1 hour to get from one side of Auckland to the other.
Okay.
1 hour in good traffic, a lot longer in rush hour, awful traffic.
So you and I have been working together really just about a year.
Yeah, we have.
When you first were in that decision mode on whether we were going to work together or not, was it scary saying yes to someone in the United States so far away?
It was. I don't know if I'd use scary as the word. I remember thinking, oh, no, what will I say to my family? It's like, here she goes again, sending 6 to me with the exchange rate. It added up to many thousands, so it's like sending all this money to some stranger on the other side of the world,
right?
You know,
right?
And it's like, oh, shame, you know, I can't be telling them. And I remember you saying, it's a matter of trust. It's like, who's best to do the job, and what are you going to do if you could get someone local, like in Auckland? But what are you going to do if they rip you off? Are you going to go and beat them up?
Right.
What can you do? Nothing. And, yeah, yes, it was scary. I'm amazed Keith let me do it, to be honest. Apparently, I was going to get the biggest, I was going to be in major trouble if I failed, yep.
And, you know, we'll talk about, you know, a little bit about leveraging, but that, you know, that does add to it from the perspective of, you know, you do need to perform because you don't want to let down your husband after spending all of this money. And like Fee was saying, you know, over here, The elite program that Fee did was a year-long program. The elite program currently, the price may change by the time someone listens to this, but it was $3,900 U.S., which converts after the exchange rate for New Zealand to about $6,000. And so it was a lot of money, and for Fee, but she still made the decision to do it, and that just shows the level of commitment and how serious she was about doing this from the get-go, which is something that we can't say about a lot of people, about where they want to put this on their priority list. There's a lot of people that talk, but not a lot of people that take the action necessary to really get it done. And Fee did that and made that really tough decision at first. There's been no looking back since.
No, that's for sure. It's been the best decision ever.
So
ever. The best decision. Yeah, definitely.
One of the things, and then I'll get off this whole money thing and, the value of it, but one of the things that just popped into my head, I remember talking to you at a certain point, maybe 3 months into the program, you had talked about early on, whether your friends or family or whatever, what they would say about you spending all this money, especially spending all this money with some gentleman from the United States. And at some point, for both you and Keith, Keith's fears were alleviated, and your fears were alleviated. And you had said something along the lines of, kind of what you just said, best decision you ever made. But it kind of became a matter of, it became a no-brainer. What is it that you felt, or what is it that you experienced? And kind of when do you think that shift occurred?
I think right from the beginning, I knew it was the right fit. I mean, it must have been to make me actually take the plunge. I knew straight away, and I think he knew probably maybe a couple of months into it. Well, I was consistently performing, and I mean, when you've lived with a weight fighter all these years, and you're used to them being useless at losing weight.
Well, not useless, but they do make promises they don't keep, right?
Yeah, for sure. And to suddenly see them actually consistently performing and losing weight and feeling better, and this coach from America actually is a real person, and they actually do talk to him on the phone and through the website, and it does seem to be working. That's definitely, that's great. And then definitely by about halfway through, it's like, well, far out. This is so worth the money. It's just, the money becomes a non-issue. It really does, And talking about the money, I used to think that I couldn't afford to go to the Weight Watchers meetings, so I'd try and do it myself at home. So we all think that things are too expensive anyway.
Right.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you said you alluded to the fact that you're a weight fighter, so why don't you tell us a little bit briefly about your kind of history with weight and fitness and so forth, any previous diets you've done in the past, whatever.
Okay, lots of previous diets. Growing up, I always sort of, as a young girl, thought I was fat, like a lot of young girls unfortunately do, and I wasn't actually fat. When I got married, I was probably about a size New Zealand 14, which is about average over here. And then a couple of years later, when I started working in McDonald's as a manager and getting free food, that's when I started putting on weight. So probably when I was about 22 years old onwards, I started getting bigger and bigger. And I've sort of, up until meeting you, I've been fat ever since. Fitness, well, I played competitive sport at primary school and college. After that, fitness was not a word that would be associated with me at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd be lucky to do an hour's exercise a month prior to meeting you.
So you were a size 14 when you first got married, or when you first met Keith, right in there?
Yeah, about then, when I was 17, 18.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's like a 12 over here in the United States, maybe? Or is that how it works?
10, I think you're a couple of sizes.
But but you're thinking we're a little bit smaller by the number over here.
By the numbers, I thought you might be two smaller.
Okay.
So, but I don't know.
Yeah.
14's like the average New Zealand girl's size.
Okay. And I think over here it's around a 12.
Right.
So we're right in there. Now you worked at McDonald's at a young age. You got the free food, and you can you tell us, with that size 14, about what you weighed, and then how much weight did you put on when you worked at McDonald's, and what'd you you know, what kind of weight did you stay at, or did you go way up and way down, or what diets did you do, and what happened?
I always went way up. I never went way down. The diets that I did, mostly tried Weight Watchers. I tried protein powder, various bits and bobs, this zone and stuff. Mm-hmm. Never really succeeded in losing more than 5 kilos, you know, about 10 pounds mm-hmm. At a time before I just gave up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Never very good at losing weight prior mm-hmm. to finding you. I managed to land myself at 115 kilos, which is 251 pounds. That was about my highest weight. Nothing to do with having kids. That's just how fat I was, yeah.
When was that, Fee?
Oh, I would have been that weight since before Elise was born. The last 10 years, really.
Oh.
I mean, I had 2 kids in that time, mm-hmm. but I can't use them as an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when I met you and joined up with the Leanness Lifestyle, I was more than 115 kilos, which is heavier than a lot of the professional rugby players. That's like, so embarrassing, you know? It's like, oh my God, that's just disgusting.
Now, was that something that you thought about? Did you think at the time, besides just whatever you were feeling, did you equate that to a rugby player?
When you see on TV, you know, they profile the rugby players and they say their weight.
Yeah.
And just quietly the fat girls in the room is like, oh my God, we're heavier than him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly a lot heavier than my husband. My husband keeps, right. And he's of a normal weight. And so I felt like an elephant next to him.
Mm-hmm.
He's 5 foot, about 5 foot 3 3/4, and I'm 5'7", so mm-hmm. you can imagine me being a big heifer lump next to him. Yeah.
And with you just being taller in general, since it seems to carry the same kind of thoughts in New Zealand as it does in the United States, it's not the norm. There are thousands and thousands, obviously, of relationships that work just fine that way. A lot of times it'll create that, what's the word I'm trying to look for? You know, you guys are thinking about the aspect of size when yeah. the woman is taller. And if the woman's taller and bigger, that's what you're saying, it just really kind of compounded it.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, of course. My husband hates being short, but what can you do? Nothing.
Right.
You know, definitely we'd swap our sizes around in an instant if
sure.
we could, but we can't, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely.
It's certainly more okay now I'm thin. You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, at least now I'm just taller. I'm not like a big elephant next to him anymore. We're taller, he's shorter, and that's how it is.
Right.
You know?
Right. So
yeah.
So when we got together, you were in pounds anyway. You were about 251.
Yep.
And that's about your heaviest, and that's where you had been for about 10 years.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you weigh today?
149.4.
149 pounds.
Yeah.
Now, for the New Zealand listeners, how many kilos is that?
About 66 kilos.
66 kilos.
Yeah.
Now, when we first started working together, and I've got a recording that I'm going to share here and there that people will be able to hear, but you were hoping for what when we first started working? If you could just reach what?
A size 16, which is like basically the top. So, like I said, most New Zealanders are about 14's average, 16's still okay. Usually an 18's the trigger point for people to lose weight. So mm-hmm. if I could be a 16, then I could still shop in all the normal shops.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really couldn't see much more than that. My Weight Watchers, every time I'd joined about 6 times in the past, goal weight, which I'd always been miles off, was always 73 kgs.
73 kilos.
73 kilos, mm-hmm. yeah, but I mean, I'd never even got close to that,
right.
ever. Yeah.
And now you're 66?
Now I'm 66, yep.
And what size clothes are you wearing now?
Size 10.
Wow.
I know, which is skinnier than all the chicks I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was saying to Keith at the beginning of the weight loss journey, I said, I'm going to have the hottest body out of all your guy friends, all their wives and girlfriends, every chick we know. I said, oh, except for Linda.
right.
I exclude one person.
There's always one.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm going to be hotter than blah, blah, I'm going to be. And he agreed today that I'm there, I am. And it's true, I've got the best body out of, you know, which is which is a miracle, let's face it. It's amazing, you know?
No matter how many people I help go through the process and that I get to walk beside as they go through their journey, I'm always amazed. I always am amazed. And I'm not amazed at what people are going to get in results if they listen. I'm just amazed at just watching people. You know, it's been an amazing journey to watch you do it, to really listen and do it, and then watch the results. Because as the pictures have come in, as we've shared pictures over the last year, and we've done the comparisons, you know, you would send them to me, and I'd put them together, and I'd send them back to you, and I'd email, and I'd say, look at the difference. You know,
yeah.
We both would be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's a half a person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to see the difference. But anyway, people will see that soon enough. So as you went through this process, tell the listeners, if you would, a little bit about anything that you can think of that, I don't know, going into it, I don't know if you had any preconceived notions, but was anything harder than you thought it would be? And was anything easier than you thought it would be?
In a way, it was much easier to lose the weight than I would have ever thought. I mean, it was hard because, yes, I had to work hard and all of that. But having the right, my ladder against the right wall, so to speak,
right,
that just made it so much easier. It's like having a coach to, yeah, basically, I just did what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Just kept doing what you said and trudging on, doing what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it felt like one day I woke up in this slim body, you know. It was quite strange. But what was harder was there were times when I found having a coach harder. It's quite strange. I think it's because we've never had coaching to that level before. We've never had someone to teach us how to expect more of ourselves and to hold us to that and train us on how to do that. But to push us to those levels, I think we're used to I was used to being a bit lazy, a lot lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, a lot of it, like, we don't know what we can expect of ourselves, and we probably set our expectations too low. And having someone that knows what you can achieve and is driven to show you that and to get you to those awesome levels, at times that was hard, but I'm so pleased for it,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I think I do. I mean, it's not uncommon that I ask my clients to just let me believe,
yeah,
and just kind of trust in my faith in what you're able to do until you can trust in yourself.
Yeah.
And at first, I think, if I'm hearing you right, you're going back to those times where you didn't really believe, you couldn't really trust in yourself because you had fallen down so many times or had not even really made sincere efforts to do it. So you kind of had to trust in my belief in you until you could believe in yourself.
Yeah, and also trust in the fact that you were the expert and you trust in the fact that you knew better,
mm-hmm.
than me. Like, you know, when you're learning to hold yourself to a higher standard and to expect more of yourself, you meet with some resistance from time to time when you're tired and run down. I remember once thinking, God, I'm working harder than anyone I know, and I'm still getting, you know, it's still not good enough.
I'm still you're still getting hammered by coach.
I know, and it's like, far out, everyone around me is so lazy, and I'm doing this and that, and I'm working so hard, I've never worked like this before. And oh my God, I can't take anymore. But they were just fleeting. That
right.
was just like a snippet. Most of the time it wasn't like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like the feelings weren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But from time to time, and then I just had to trust that, well, coach knows best, and Fiona, maybe you just need to kick up the butt and just do what he says.
Mm-hmm.
You'll survive it.
Right, right.
And
yep.
I did. Yeah.
It really is a journey, and there are you know, there are high points, and there are points where there's self doubt, and you know, I'm just so glad that you listened. I'm so glad that you were coachable. That's a key component in this relationship. Is you know, there's a local coach who coaches gymnastics, And she has a sign on her wall that says, be coachable or be gone.
Right.
And,
good, yeah.
You know, cool. It's a big part of the process is that people have to be willing to kind of recognize that, you know, look, Fee, you have an expertise in certain areas of living. I mean, you do. Right. You have an expertise in mothering two young girls. You have an expertise in being the wife of Keith. You have an expertise in retail management. You have an expertise in men's clothing, so on and so on. I mean, you have expertises in various areas that you probably don't even realize that I don't and that other people don't. We all have our thing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people, if they have expertises in various areas, think that because we're talking, they think we're going to talk primarily about the mechanics of nutrition and exercise.
Yeah.
And because everybody knows a little something about nutrition and exercise, everybody kind of thinks that they're kind of sort of the expert.
Oh, they,
you know,
yes, they do, don't they?
Yeah, and so it's hard for some people to kind of let go of what they think they know and trust in what someone who really knows can teach them. But that's the coachable part. But you were, and you're living proof that it works, you know, incredibly well. Well, I remember on one of our very first calls, you were asking me, you know, do you think that I could ever get, you know, to the 75, you know, 80 kilo range?
Yeah.
And so, of course, I've got to, like, get my calculator out because everything over here in the United States is still old, you know, pounds and all that. And so I'm punching it up, and I'm like, well, yeah. Of course. And I remember you asked probably, I'm going to go back and listen to the very first recording soon, but I think you asked that a half a dozen times. You know, really? Do you think so? Do you think it's possible?
Yeah.
And I knew it was, but, you know, there were a lot of things that had to happen still for it to happen. But, you know, from a physical perspective, I knew it was possible. And after talking to you, it wasn't very long where I knew that you definitely had it in you to do it. So let's talk about any stumbling blocks, if you had anything. I mean, you're a mom, you're a wife, you work, you've got a house to take care of, you've got things going on, you've got the same things that everybody over here has got going on, you're busy, you've got a lot of times more on your plate than you can handle. In addition to kind of just everyday living like that, were there any things that were you'd consider stumbling blocks that you really had to kind of work through?
A stumbling block I found for a while until was getting all my exercise minutes in, though, until I bought an exercise bike for at home, and that fixed that. I like you say, we're all busy.
Yeah.
And fitting it all in, but, you know, things do need to be sacrificed, but as I learned, there's a sacrifice with everything.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you and I have talked a number of times about, I know that at different parts, during the parts where you were really, you know, wrestling with the changes in the whole lifestyle, in making fitness a part of your life, you know, one of the at least passing thoughts was, you know, I'm not sure, I remember you telling me, I'm not sure if I knew everything at the beginning that I would have started.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you and I have talked about it, and I just want to say it on this interview because I think it's a neat analogy because it's very true regardless of the endeavor. You know, you and Keith have been successfully married for going on 14 years now.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about this, so you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, if you knew every single thing that you two have been through to make this marriage a success over the 14 years, would you have started it on day one?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the question, you know, a lot of times might be answered, you know, I'm not sure. But the fact is, we have gone through what we've gone through. And anybody who's been married for any length of time, you know, will attest to that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we don't have to make any apologies for, you know, kind of the cumulative nature of this growing, changing journey that, you know, that is the transformation journey and all that you now know and all that you've worked hard to, you know, accomplish. It is what it is. It's what a lot of people are not going to step up to the plate and do, but then again, a lot of people don't step up to the plate to make their marriage work.
No,
you know,
they
look for the easy way out.
Sure.
There have been multiple opportunities in any marriage, I would suspect, for someone to cut and run.
Oh, yeah, big time.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's a, you know, for anything worthwhile, whether it's raising kids, keeping a marriage, a career, this, the, you know, this body transformation, there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot that goes into it. A lot more than the standard eat less and exercise more, you know, which doesn't work. So, you know, we just don't need to make any apologies for it, but there really is a lot, you know, that goes into it, but it isn't. And that's the question I want to ask you. Truly, even with that mindset, and there were passing thoughts where you're like, man, I don't know. You know, if I'd have known everything I know now, and those were, as you had said, passing thoughts. They weren't, I live with these thoughts every day, most of the day. It was just, oh boy, I'm really fighting hard right now.
Yeah.
Were you really ever given anything more than you could handle?
No. And thinking back, no. At the time, sometimes I thought enough already. Just lay off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back, I realized it was all part of the journey and part of the teaching and the learning and the growing. And I needed that. So no, everyone can be totally confident in your expertise and when to push, when not to push. You're fully trustworthy, you know.
One of the things I remember early on is, you know, I first started looking at your nutrition logs like in the first week. And I remember you were pretty proud of some of these changes you had made. And now you're laughing because when you think back on what you were eating then, and I went in and I said, first of all, what's this? I didn't even know what some of the foods were, of course, because the different thing, there's just some differences in the names of foods and things. And so once we started making some of those, I'm going to call them little changes, at first it felt like, well, you tell me, what did it feel like when we first made those initial changes after you thought you had made all the changes you possibly could?
Oh, I don't know what it felt like, really.
Well, let me tell you what you told me.
Okay.
You said, holy crap. Yeah. There. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like, holy crap. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I mean, I got to do this and I got to do that. And now when you look back at that, compared to how far you've come, you know, were those initial changes that you made, you know, did that put you at the same level that you are now?
No. not at all.
Right. They were just the first changes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, we work in stages with this. And, you know, it worked with you in stages. But those initial stages are, oh, I'm going to say no less shocking, but they aren't anything that you can't handle. And
no, that's right.
But, yeah, that's what you thought. I remember it vividly. Because you said it again not that long ago.
Yeah.
When I said, we've got a hard 4-week push here and we're going to finish strong. And then you said, oh, my God.
No Diet Coke. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's when we really stepped it up. And that really kind of, I think, gives perspective on really how far you can go with it. But, all right, let's keep rolling here.
Okay.
We're talking about foods and we're talking about these changes and we're talking about the perception that, you know, some of it's overwhelming and different perceptions throughout the year-long journey that are, oh, I'm not sure if I would have started if I'd have known everything I know now. One of the things I want to say about those feelings and perceptions are, you know what, those are real. That's real. You know, we can talk about this, so we could do an interview and make this very infomercial-like, you know, and we could both talk about there was never any hunger, right? Or we can both talk about, you know, it was the easiest thing I've ever done in my life. Whatever sounds good for an infomercial, or we can talk about it like it is.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's amazing and it's fantastic. But, you know, it is a lot of work and it is something that you have to commit to. But even with that, a lot of the mindset that'll stop people from starting is they say, well, I'm never going to get to eat anything sweet again, or I'm never going to get to eat anything fattening again, or I'm never going to get to eat my favorite foods again. And what I'd like to hear from you, you know, have you given up everything that tastes good?
No, definitely not. You know, the Spurge meal once a week, that works a treat, and especially because I'm staying away from trigger foods, I'm not drawn to them the same, and you don't feel deprived because one of the things is I'm not forced to eat cottage cheese. On other diets, you're kind of forced to eat, not that this is a diet, but you're forced to eat these foods, you know,
right. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, for my protein, I eat heaps of chicken breast because that's what I like. I'm happy with that. I'm a bit of a, I'll just eat chicken breast for my most of my protein. That's fine. But other people, you have a lot of cottage cheese. If you said, Fee, you have to eat cottage cheese, I mean, that would suck. I hate cottage cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you don't have to give up your favourite foods, and you might have to give up some of them if they're triggers.
Right.
But, it's not awful at all, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you do keep some kind of extra splurgy, treaty, whatever you want to call it, for the people who are kind of lay people and aren't leanest lifestylers. Leanest lifestylers, they call it flat out splurge because we know what to call it. Other people are used to calling it a cheat or a free meal. We don't, but that's the thinking anyway. That's okay. We don't need to beat them up in your interview. But that's the common thinking. So I want to make sure that everyone has the right mindset on that. And basically, you know, you get at least one of those a week, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is, throughout your journey, be honest now, Fee. Were there weeks where you had two, maybe three?
Splurge meals?
Yeah. Not often, I bet, but they were
not
there,
often.
Right?
Yeah. Sometimes there's weeks when you've just got a lot on. You've got a couple of housewarmings to go to or company dinner. Sometimes there's just events you have to go to where it's out of your normal routine and... you've just got to make the best decision while you're there.
So let me ask you something about anything. You know, when people see your photos, they're going to be mouths dropped open. You know, they're going to be like saying, oh, my gosh, you know, look how gorgeous she is and what an amazing, change and transformation. That'll be obvious. The physical will be very obvious. Has anything in your life changed than the obvious?
Yeah, heaps actually. I'm so much happier. I mean, the world would have seen me as a happy person anyway, happy, optimistic.
Right.
And I knew that the real Fiona was being subdued. You know, I felt like I was a tiny little flame that was about to be extinguished and I needed to come up for air, which would sound strange to the world because I was probably still the loudest, most out there person they knew. And it's like, oh my God, she gets more than this, you know.
Right.
But so I've become much happier and more comfortable in myself, and losing the weight, I've become a lot less self-absorbed. I don't mean like selfish, but I mean when I'm more giving to other people because I'm less worried about myself and I'm less insecure within myself, so I'm able to like give to the world more.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean?
Yes.
My workmates are happier. I just feel the sense of, yes, I can do anything. I just feel immensely proud because having reached this higher level, like having someone to push me to be exceptional when I'd never had that before,
mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, what other goals shall I set? Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be a financial goal. I'll start to make us rich, you know?
Right.
And my husband's like, yeah, do that, Fee, do that. You know? I'm thinking, why don't you do it? So you kind of feel a bit bulletproof. It's just such a good confidence boost. It's like, oh, my God, all those wasted years.
Mm-hmm.
We as human beings are capable of so much if we'd only believe and work diligently towards worthwhile endeavors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's my perspective's changed.
Another thing I remember you saying 6, 7, 8 months into the process was one of the things that kind of made this the most worthwhile was how Keith felt about you or how you perceived Keith felt about you.
Yeah.
So as PG-13 as we can keep it, how has yours and Keith's relationship changed, if it's changed at all?
Oh, that has been the best thing, Keith and my relationship. But just the extra, he's just so proud of me. Every time he looks at me, he just like, you can just see it. He just, you know, sort of shakes his head and he just can't get over how hot I look, you know. Or how great I'm looking. Even if I sort of tired from a day at work, and I think that I look a bit raggedy, and I don't think I'm looking very hot right this second. He just, oh babe, you're just amazing, you know, and it's just for him to respect me like that. It's quite, I mean, it seems quite strange saying, you know, it's nice to have him respect me now, and I think it's just to finally have succeeded in an area that he's so used to me, well, we're both used to me failing in it. It was just such a, just a non-spoken about, just nasty point, you know? And now that I've succeeded in it and I've come out and I look so hot now, so to speak, it's just cool. And he's so proud, and you can tell it when we're out with our mates and or everywhere. He's so proud. He's so he's so horny. He's funny, actually. I've got an exercise bike at home, and he finds that really. He finds the breeze. Here I am trying to exercise, trying to bike away, and he'll be jumping up on the edge of the couch, like with his head hanging right close to my head, just listening to my breathing. I'm like, we could get you a bike. You could go next door to me.
That's
He's
funny.
Like, oh, no. I'm like, get away, leave me to exercise.
Yeah, you could, right now you could probably turn him on frying bacon or something. I mean, it wouldn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
Riding a bicycle, I don't think it matters right now, Fee.
It doesn't. And like lying in bed, he says, oh, you just feel so different, you know? It's just, and because I do, in fact, you know, I mean, I like the way I feel myself. It's amazing to like feel muscles and and bones and stuff, you know?
Yeah, there's muscle and bone in there.
I know, it's like, oh my God, and I was last night in bed, I was like, oh my God, I think I can feel the side of my abs.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, where it finishes before your hip bone.
And
it's, yeah. So, no, it's, all my relationships have been improved. Definitely with Keith, and my daughter Elise, the 9-year-old, she's so proud as well, you know, and that's without a doubt, one of the best things for me.
One of the things that, I know early on we were talking about your why.
Yeah.
And one of the things you had brought out is you've got daughters. And moms who've got daughters understand it incredibly well. You know, my Tracy, who's a weight fighter, we've got a daughter too.
Yeah.
And Tracy's very, very aware and conscious of, you know, this, that, and the other thing as it relates to Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And you were two of your girls. And one of the things you had said is, well, you just tell me, how did you feel when you first started about how you felt about yourself and what you didn't want them to have to do or go through? And, you know, how do you feel about that as it relates to them now? Or what do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, when I started, Jazzy, the small one, you know, she was just turning one. So I wanted her to grow up with not knowing any different, having like a slim, healthy mum, and that was just how it had always been. Of course, Elise was 8 then, and, you know, I think she was starting to get a bit embarrassed about having a fat mum. She told me I couldn't walk to school with her.
Really? Elise had said she didn't want you to walk to school with her.
Yeah, apparently not. Yeah, so, you know, I really wanted to set a good example for her, and I didn't want her to grow up having the same issues as me or any other weight fighter. And I really was aware of a woman and a mother's sort of position and of power within the home, and that we really can guide our family. You know, we're such an important part in our family's life, and I really wanted to like direct my family in the, I wanted to change the course of my own life, and in doing so, and change the course of the, set the family on the right healthy track as well.
Yeah, it's an excellent observation too, and I couldn't agree more. I think that so many times the moms are the one, you know, kind of driving the ship at home. You have a tremendous influence over the household. Tremendous. The whole, you know, the saying over here in the United States is, if, you know, if mama ain't happy, nobody happy.
it's the same here.
Yeah. So I don't imagine Lisa's going to be too concerned about you walking to school with her.
No. Oh, she's yeah, she's stoked with how I look. She thinks I look fabulous and stuff, you know. And it's quite neat, actually, when we stand and look at each other, you know, stand side by side in the mirror, looking in the mirror, and we look like mother and daughter now, both tall and thin, you know. It's really exciting. It is. Yeah, she's really proud. And it helps get her into, she started doing more exercise since then. You know, she uses my exercise bike and she skips and she's always, you know, doing exercise stuff.
Yeah,
and,
it'll make a huge difference. It really will transcend way beyond your own life, you know. You know, at one point I know I pointed you to the back of the book.
Yeah.
You know, I said, read the back of the book again. I said, this is what's happening to you right now.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed how many people my transformation has touched and how many people are talking about it, how many, your work colleagues, other people in the mall you work in, customers, relatives, people at the gym. It's way wider than you'd ever know. It's amazing. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the mechanical things that we do when we're going through this process is we utilize the system and tools that I've created, and a lot of the tools are located, you know, in a members area on the website. And I suspect it took you a while to get used to them, to learn them and so forth. But, you know, how computer savvy a year ago would you have considered yourself when you started this? She's laughing.
Not very. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being really good on computers, I might have been a 2.
Right.
You know, I was not a computer person at all. Mm-hmm. That's why it makes it seem funny to my friends that I started on this internet-based type program.
Right. An internet-based program for somebody with a computer score is a 2 on a 1 to 10 scale.
Exactly. And our computer is a dog. It's a dinosaur, you know.
Right, right.
So I've had my fair share of issues with that, but, yeah. And I still managed.
You did, and you learned it. And that's one of the points I try to make early on is that you don't have to be, you know, a computer wizard to make this work. And even people who can barely, you know, work a mouse, they can make it work. And it is a cumulative process. It's like learning anything, and one thing builds on another, and everything doesn't jump right out at you and roll out the red carpet and make it necessarily super easy to, you know, to learn. But I've tried to make the process as intuitive and easy as we can make it. And you did. You managed it very, very well. It didn't take you very long at all to learn any of the tools that are inside the club. You know, when it was all said and done, too, you know, as you got comfortable, you know, a few weeks to a few months into it, you know, how much time, not goof around time, but how much time would you say was necessary inside the club area to fulfill what I wanted you to do?
Oh, 10 minutes or less,
okay.
Probably.
10 minutes.
It wouldn't take long at all once you get used to it and just doing the basics, logging what you definitely require of us. Yeah, doesn't take long at all. Even for me.
Yeah, even for me. Well, hey, you know, she's you've come up too. You know, your skills have come up in this year too, as far as the computer goes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you can send pictures and everything now.
Oh, I know. Sometimes I get my sister to help, but finally.
Well, one of the things that's a mark of somebody who's truly, you know, going to be successful is not necessarily being able to do everything yourself, but knowing where the resources are to get it done.
Yeah,
you know,
for
so
sure.
When you bring in your sister, or you bring in someone else to kind of help you find the answer to something, that's just as good as doing it yourself the first time, because you're learning and you're going to get it and you're getting it done. So I know you did that here and there throughout the process. And so let me ask you something. Obviously, we're thousands of miles apart, and I didn't come over and cook you food.
No.
I didn't come over and stand next to you and say, 3 more reps.
Yeah.
And I didn't come over and stand next to you and say, you know, your form is not good here. However, I do want to bring up something, and that is, was I able to correct your form?
Yes, you did.
How did we do that?
We took a little video of me in the gym doing my exercises. you know, one set on each machine type thing.
Mm-hmm.
I posted it on YouTube, and much to my embarrassment, because, like I say, I'm not good on the computer, so I don't know how to do it secretly, so to speak. But anyway, I managed it, and, on our next phone call, we went through it, and you corrected my form, and, yeah. Not having you there in person actually, I mean, I'm sure it makes a difference having you there in person, but it's not as big as, it's not the stumbling block that most people might think. You're far more accessible than I think any local personal trainer would be. Wasn't an issue.
And we never have met. I hope we do someday, but we never have.
Yeah.
So, exactly. I for a second there, it just popped into my head because I really had forgotten about the YouTube thing. But, you know, the thing with technology these days is, you know, whether I am thousands of miles away from a client or I've got a client in my own local town, the ability to review form and the ability to even do with things like Skype now, you can do face-to-face meetings, you know, but you're not in person, but you can see each other. I mean, it's amazing what's going on. And so I feel so fortunate to be able to tap into this technology and to be able to, you know, help my clients by just maximizing it in every way that we can. So you and I have never met.
No.
And you were still successful.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Now, let's go to, for just a second, because you were telling me before we even started up the call, you were talking about, you know, your coworkers and things are just, they're just constantly telling you how skinny you are. And the other thing is that you got some professional after photos done, and you got quite a bonus from work.
Yeah.
So what happened there?
Yeah, well, like I said, I work for a menswear company, and they also have a sister company sort of under the same umbrella. It's ladies' wear. And they have my company's called Hallensteins, and the ladies is Glassons. I've got a Hallensteins Glassons Trust set up for the employees of both companies, and where you can apply to them for money for personal development stuff, and they may or may not give you some. Anyway, I've sort of become a bit of a mini celebrity with my weight loss everywhere, but at my head office in my company, and they were saying, oh, you've done so well. So many people in the company could do with doing what you've done. And I said, oh, well, if Hallensteins pays for my after photos, I'll let you show them my before photos. and they said, yeah, apply to the trust. We can't guarantee it, but, apply to the trust for the money.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I put together an application form, and booked myself in for the professional photos. They cost an arm and a leg to get them printed. So I did that, and I printed it all, I bound it all and printed it and made it all nice. And I asked them for $3,185, which is a lot to ask them for. So I sent it in, and I gave the financial director from head office his own copy, and he was amazed by the photos, and he's showing everyone and stuff. Anyway, they've granted me the full amount for these photos, $3,185. Which is the most I've ever given to anyone in either of the companies.
There's no one more deserving, and just to make sure that everyone, you know, understood everything that Fee just said there, it's you applied for $3,185 to get professional after photos done at a place where anything you'd ever seen them do, you had said everything they do is very high quality.
Yeah, and they do your hair and makeup, and you have six different looks. And, you know, they do some naked photos, creative nudes, they call them.
Right.
And various other things. And, you never see a bad photo coming out of there.
Are you happy enough with them to say what their name is? Because I'm sure this audio is going to be heard in New Zealand as well.
Sure. It's Body Shots.
Body Shots?
A company called Body Shots. It's in Auckland.
Okay.
I don't know if they're anywhere else as well. Sort of glamour body photos.
Yeah, you bet.
So, full woman's team, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about your company awarding the $3,185 is, first of all, companies are not dumb. I mean, companies don't just award money just to award money. They don't just hand out cash, even though $3,000 isn't a lot of money overall to your company. They still don't want to spend money unnecessarily on causes that they don't feel are worthy of getting anything, whether it's $500 or $50 or $3,000.
Mm.
And, it, you know, in my mind, it makes a lot of sense for your company to invest in you in that way, because they're not just investing in you. The thing is that as your story spreads around the workplace, and as your company can maybe intelligently make, you know, good, tasteful use of your story and your journey, the thing is that your company can benefit in tremendous ways from it, from the perspective of it. If even one or two or three other people who are really obese make a significant difference in their life, and they work for the company, you know, they could save the company tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, in medical costs or whatever. You could see the increase in productivity. You could see less sick days. You could see less workman's compensation claims. Or I'm not exactly sure how it works over there, but over here, you know, all of those things are very, very real, and they're very big issues. Let's kind of wrap this up. You know, there's a difference between early on thinking about what it might be like if you could get the weight off. And then living it. And I've made the comparison of, it's kind of like dreaming in black and white versus living it in full color. And there's no doubt about it, you're living it in full color. And is it better, about the same, or a little bit of a letdown compared to what you thought it might be when you were thinking about it, dreaming about it more in black and white when you were 251 pounds, 100 pounds ago?
It's so much better than I thought. I think that back at 251 pounds, I couldn't even imagine or begin to imagine what it would be like. Like I said, I would have been happy just to be like normal, you know, and never in a million years would I think I could get this small, you know, and not, and this toned, although, you know, I still have bits I want to improve, of course, but yeah, it's so much better. It's like life is great when you feel like you're achieving, when you don't feel like a lazy slob. Life is great when you're eating clean and healthy. Life is great when you're doing exercise, when you're looking after yourself, when you're in shape, when you're presenting a great front to the world. You know, when you're walking down the street or at the gym or at work, and you know that your arms and shoulders look like you do some exercise. You know,
life is. Would you say it has to do with just in general, kind of honoring yourself?
You know, definitely. I mean, it's great to have learned to expect more of yourself, and to sort of see a glimpse of the possibilities in life that are within your grasp. You just need to believe in yourself and work diligently towards it.
Absolutely.
You sort of learn that nothing comes easily, and anyone that's successful in anything deserves that success, because so much would have gone on behind the scenes that the world never sees.
Yes.
It's just great to sort of put yourself in that category of achievers and people that work hard and get the results, and they deserve the results because they work hard. It's so empowering. Yeah.
And you certainly have, and you certainly qualify in every single way, and you absolutely deserve to feel as proud as anyone I know for any reason at all. And I want to give you the last word, and what I want you to do is, I want you to try to go back a year, or go back 10 years or 5 years, and I want you to go back to you're the person again who's looking. And, you know, we've got somebody, you know, maybe listening to this who's looking. They're not sure. They're not. Yeah. They have a lot of doubts about themselves, and they're wondering if, whether it's their second attempt or their 52nd attempt, should they try again? And if they should try again, of course, the, you know, the question is, my goodness, should they try an internet-based program or and work with a coach that they may never meet? What are your thoughts on that, and what do you want to say to that person?
I want to say to that person that there is hope, as long as you've got your ladder, so to speak, against the right wall. I remember back then, I think you feel scared because, like, you're so used to failing, and you just feel like such a loser in this area. You're great at lots of other things. You know, you're so successful in this, that, and everything else, yet you suck at weight loss, and it's just so, oh, it just pulls you down, and you try not to let the world know that you're so depressed about it, and you try and subdue all those feelings, but it just sucks. And you think, oh, God. And so I know myself, when I tried Weight Watchers again for the fifth time or whatever, I don't think that you believe that you're going to do it this time. The world doesn't believe you'll do it. You end up not believing you'll do it. But there is hope. I don't really believe for myself if I'd join Weight Watchers again. I mean, you know, look at the past and see what hasn't worked for you, and let's not be silly. If it didn't work in the past, it's unlikely to work for you now. This leanness lifestyle will work. I mean, and like I said, it was the best money ever spent. I didn't just get a personal trainer in you. I got an everything coach. I got every therapist I needed all in one. Because at the beginning, I remember being scared because you said you're so intuitive. One of your gifting is to sort of see the words unspoken behind the scenes and stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what sort of crap's going on in my head that he's going to see that I don't even know about? Like, oh, my God, this is a little bit scary. Maybe I've got all of these blinking issues going on that I don't know about. How embarrassing. But don't be scared, because sometimes it's just a matter of bad habits and not having the right coaching and the right structures in place. Pay the money, do it, and you'll be so happy. Honestly, it is so worth it. And the feelings at the end are just no money can compare. I mean, we tell everyone, if we ever meet Coach in person, me and Keith would both hug him and never let him go. We love him to bits. And honestly.
Right, I appreciate it so much.
Yeah.
Well, Fee, it's, I cannot say enough how much of a pleasure it's been to be a part of your life for the last year and to help you go through this journey and to just watch it firsthand in real time and see the changes that you've made and see how hard you worked and see how coachable you were. And beyond all of that, you're just an amazing person, and you've got such a vibrant, fun-loving personality that, like you had said earlier on, you know, when you were heavy, you know, the people around you were like, my goodness, you know, she's so kind of out there now and outspoken and so forth and positive. You know, what will she be like when she loses the weight? But I got to say that all I've seen happen is you're so much the same. It's just the certain areas that you had doubts on and certain areas that you were not feeling good about have just improved. You're still the same breath of fresh air. You're still the same vibrant personality. You're still the same optimistic, generally speaking, you know, every day in a pretty good mood. You're gonna definitely bring light to a room that's dark when you walk in, and people are gonna know that you know you're there when you're around them, and they're gonna be glad you're there because that's just the kind of person you are. And to be, as I feel very fortunate to be a part of your life for the past year, and I cannot congratulate you enough, and I just want to personally thank you for allowing me to be a part of your life like I was, to get to know you and your family. It's amazing. And even though we haven't met in person, I do feel like, you know, we've become, you know, friends at the distant, you know, thousands of miles away. And we'll be in touch. This isn't something where it's not the end at all. It's just goodbye for now. And it's not even goodbye for very long, because as you know, we're still in touch and in communication weekly even now.
Yeah.
So not so much, you know, at that super elite level, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to lose track either. So
exactly. Thank you. And well, that's what I tell people too. They're like, what to now, you know? And it's like, well, I'm still a member of the club. I've still got access to him, you know?
Right.
If I need help, I just need to reach out and he'll be there for me.
That's right.
It's not like I'm suddenly dropped,
no.
You know?
Oh, no.
The support's still there, and I think that's important. People thinking about, like, losing weight, oh, shit, this is the program for them. They have to do this program, and you'll succeed beyond your wildest dreams. You just can't even begin to imagine where you'll be in a year's time.
Yeah, again, I wish you the very best, and we'll be seeing you inside the club, and keep this train rolling along.
All right.
Okay, Fee. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
You too. Bye.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening. To learn more about the Leanness Lifestyle and Club Lifestyle online, please visit www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com.